Podtacular Episode 293, Halo 4 at E3 2012, for June 4th, 2012. Hello everyone, welcome to Podtacular, the unofficial Halo Universe podcast. I'm your host, Dust Storm.
I'm your co-host, Daftlink.
And now we have Unreal Chief as standing in for co-host right now,
or guest host. Oh, this is Unreal Chief? I had no idea this was Unreal Chief. This is Unreal Chief. Wow, Unreal Chief, no, long time no see.
Yeah, no kidding. It's been a while.
You should go on the forums more often. You never go on the forums anymore.
way too many things happening. Maybe over December, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah.
So,
yeah, thank God for summer. I'll tell you, my summer starts. So, yeah.
Yeah, we don't want to hear it. Or I don't want to hear it.
Okay.
Because I'm working. It sucks.
Oh, hey, you get money, though. Money,
yeah. I do have money, money. Yes, that is true.
Money. Cash money, dollar money, real money, top money.
That is true. I do have money.
Yeah, he lives off the dole, for all your listeners. He lives off the payroll, if he can get catch what
no,
he means by that. No,
I don't get that. The government pays shitty, dude.
I don't know. Obama just raised 25% more pay for government workers was like a couple months ago or something. So
I'm not seeing that flow my way.
Talking about
maybe it's just for the bureaucrats, not the grunts. I don't know.
I don't see that coming my way. Anyways, today was the E3 Xbox Media Briefing, and we got our first glimpse into the Halo 4 campaign, which was, I have to say, pretty epic. I was stoked. I managed to watch it. It was like 7 minutes before going into lunch, so I managed to catch a glimpse, and the graphics, oh my gosh, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
What'd you guys think?
Well, I came home from school about 1:30. I wasn't able to watch it live, of course, but I looked it up, watched the gameplay demo, and I think it looks really amazing. I was kind of just impressed the part where Master Chief sees the Phantoms and the Banshees fly over him towards the Infinity. I thought that like just the streams behind the Banshees' wings and everything, like just like, a lot of detail.
Yeah.
So yeah, graphically it is very impressive. I think it at this point, like it can contend with like Battlefield 3, like Frostbite engine graphics, which is like kind of the pinnacle on Xbox more or less.
Yeah, for right now.
Yeah.
Just so you guys know, we have Nick and Eli hopping in for a few minutes. Hello.
What's
there.
What's up, fellas? How's it going?
Not bad. What'd you think of today's reveal?
Amazing. Dude, yeah. I'm uploading a video right now. I only have a few minutes before it's uploaded, then I'm going to tweet it out and everything. But I thought it was incredible. I heard you guys talking about the graphics. Of course, like Halo 4 is pushing the Xbox 360 to its physical limits with this game. So I'm like positive Halo 5 is going to look even better on like the Xbox 720. But this is as good as it's going to get, dude. And I'm really excited. The Forerunner stuff looked absolutely incredible.
I mean, I thought Halo Reach was kind of going to be the pinnacle of what they could do with the engine for Halo, but this is just everything in the forest, that was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
The amount of detail on the weapons and the foliage of the campaign demo was outstanding.
Yeah.
Did you see the animation on those guns, dude? When you pick up the Forerunner weapons
self-assemble? I was like, oh my gosh.
With the little thing floating around it. Right?
If you didn't have like 5 nerdgasms during that whole showing, there is something wrong with you.
Yeah, I...
Like at least 5. Because...
Yeah, I was actually in a Google Plus Hangout earlier today when we were watching all of this, and I just saw everyone's like, oh my god, like just nerdgasm everywhere.
It's like you hear about 4 million jaws hitting the floor when we saw that scene. That was, you can't really put another adjective with this video other than just amazing.
Yeah.
Because honestly,
yeah.
It's like I saw the first 7 minutes, I'm like, okay, I'm done. That's E3 for me. Those 7 minutes right there, minus the extra stuff that we'll see. But other than that, yeah.
And I'll say that was kind of the awesome. That was kind of the zenith of Microsoft's press conference. Everything else, I mean, Splinter Cell, you know, looked all right. Black Ops 2, you know, looked, you know, interesting, but everything else was just kind of like,
yeah. We'll talk about that more on Thursday.
There was an article posted on the Little English Halo blog or whatever it's called with the past 10 years of Halo reveals at E3. And I watched them all last night because I just wanted to get a feel for, you know, to compare what things look like in the past versus now. And it was jaw-dropping just seeing the difference in aesthetics, gameplay, the polish, the way that they presented it, the live action trailer preceding it, right, just perfectly blended with the CGI, and then going straight from the live action trailer, like right over Chief's head, the Infinity coming in through the clouds. You're just like, this, you know, this just got real. This is so intense. And then this kill ball thing pops out of the ground and you're like, what's going on? This is amazing.
And like you see Chief Plazar is like ready to fight, and he turns around and looks up and is like, oh crap, I don't stand a chance.
Yeah,
he like slowly backs down, and then this thing like scans the area and then it shoots off into the distance.
Yep. I had no idea what that thing is, dude. I've read all the books, like I can only think of it as a transport that might have like the didact in it or something, but I'm really curious to see what this is and what takes place when all the Covenant meet the humans, meet the Forerunners, like where Chief is headed.
I forget what the little Forerunner symbol at the end of the video was. Is it the Didact or the Librarian?
That's definitely the Didact.
Didact, yeah, okay.
He's the ancient evil. The Librarian saved humanity by implanting them on Earth in the Halo rings and saving them from the Didact. But she's married to the Didact, and so I don't know how that works, because he hates their guts and waged like a war against them and almost obliterated them.
Yeah. Right.
Aren't the new enemies called Prometheans as the collective term?
That just means Forerunner, right?
No, Prometheans and Forerunners are different, I thought.
Because Frankie, in an interview, said that the large enemy that like lunged on Chief and like opened its, you know, weird freaky face, it's called a Promethean Knight. So yeah, wouldn't all those orange and silvery enemies be Prometheans? I guess.
I mean, if you look up Promethean, the first image you'll see on Google Images is of like a Forerunner. Pretty sure. Unless it's the precursors, but
precursors. Okay, yeah. I guess Promethean is maybe like another class or something of a Forerunner. Like, all these are all biotic of some form. They're not, like, natural flesh and blood enemies that we're fighting. So, there's some, I guess the Promethean could be, like, a class of AI or something like that.
Yeah.
Question. Ask Grim Brother 4. I'm sure he knows.
Yeah, because we have Promethean Vision in multiplayer, so it's I would assume it's probably like a class of technology that the Forerunners use. Like, that would be my next best guess into what Promethean means.
It says right here, the Prometheans were the highest and most respected group of warrior servants in the Forerunner, like, order. All right,
so some kind of class. So, yeah. Not technology, but class. Okay, it's a class.
The Didact was a Promethean. So.
Alrighty. Well, there's our answer.
Bingo.
So, it was interesting that they chose a gameplay where you see the Infinity coming in. So, immediately, 343 is tying the two stories together of the Chief and the new Spartan 4s.
Well, if I could say that was like one-third into the game. So mm-hmm.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
It was... I thought they did a really nice job with opening up the scene, because once you saw the live action part, it was like, okay, this looks very much Halo, and then about a few seconds in, you're like, yes, this is definitely Halo. And the mix between the live action and going right into the actual gameplay was just...
Yeah.
Speechless.
How is that thing going to get off the ground? Jeez.
I don't know, because when it came in, it looked like it was being controlled by...
A tractor beam?
Of some kind.
That's not a moon. It's a space station.
Wow.
And the Infinity is like the most advanced piece of technology that the UNSC has ever created. So the fact that, and it's a stealth ship. So the fact that like it was seen and caught by this planet or whoever runs the planet is pretty daunting. Like, its chief is going to have to go beast mode to save the Infinity.
Right.
Yeah, but I'd bet like foreign technology against human technology any day of the week.
Oh, and you shall not leave this planet. I can't do it as well as Cortana does.
Who is she saying that to? Like,
I don't know. I would assume that she's yelling at Chief.
I'd like to assume that too, just later on into the game, maybe nearby the ending or something like that.
I would assume that she's talking to the Chief when she says that.
I saw someone post on Twitter, I think it was MixMaker117, he's like, he's got 99 problems and a bitch is one, and he put a picture of like Cortana's great face.
Wow, that's wrong.
Welcome to the internet.
She's supposed to be, rampant, completely rampant by 7 years, and she's already 8 years into her
span. Well, no, she starts
span,
to go rampant at 7 years. That's what she said in the trailer.
And it's been eight years.
Right.
She's also consumed more information than any AI in history because of the Halo rings, right? All that data.
Yeah.
But then she just sat still and did nothing for 5 years, so I don't know. Like, I'm curious what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah, what did she do for those five? Oh, sorry, go ahead.
Well, it's another thing, picking up all that foreigner technology, there's been the speculation going around that somehow with some of the technology that she's incorporated that she might be able to kind of at least fight the rampancy somewhat.
I was wondering that
maybe
too.
Stave
like,
it off.
Because 343 Guilty Spark is an AI, but he's lasted for 100,000 years. Even though he is a little cuckoo, right, at the end of the 100,000 years, mm-hmm. he still survived and hasn't gone completely rampant. So do you think that she could possibly use the Forerunner information to turn into sort of a Forerunner AI or learn how to like restructure herself to live for 100,000 years?
Possibly, or maybe she can integrate herself into some Forerunner technology.
Yeah, good call.
So I don't know.
Oh yeah, maybe like at the end of towards the end of Halo 6, they find some Forerunner thing that can keep her sane and alive or something instead of her dying at the end.
And Chief's gonna die. I'm calling it right now. Just calling
Chief's
it.
Gonna
no,
die.
No.
He's gonna go down on like the seventh Halo ring. And
you mean in Halo 6, right?
In like Halo 6, yeah.
You know, no. Like, wait, you know it would be awesome if there was Halo 7 where he died, and that's where the story ended.
Oh. No, Chief's never gonna die. They're just gonna keep making more Halo games.
Yeah, I mean that's the worst thing you can do for a franchise is kill its main iconic character. Seriously.
Isn't he like the number two video game character of all time, Master Chief? So,
like,
the only person people recognize more than him is Mario. Pretty sure.
And Pokemon.
Well, that's kind of a class of its own, in a way.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Mario's kind of a class of its own, too.
No, Mario's not as big as Pokemon. No.
Are you kidding?
Well, Pokemon's... I mean, as far as... You know what I mean? Like, popularity, like, card
for people
game.
That grew up on Nintendo, like, the original Nintendo, Mario was that for them. And then,
but I'm saying as a franchise, like, as a whole collective, like, I mean, throughout the years, card game, TV show, games, video games, etc. You know, this giant franchise. Mario's popular, I'm not denying that. I'm just like, Pokemon, I mean, think of it. You know, there's that whole Pokemon craze years ago, and all the movies and the theaters, and all the kids.
Yeah, I guess. Let's get back on
the
topic.
Mario has a bajillion. Yeah, let's not.
Because I mean, this is Halo 4 stuff, so let's stay on Halo 4.
And my video is uploaded.
Yay!
Right. So, awesome.
Starting. Dude, there's so much content out today, like the campaign reveal, the multiplayer reveal, the live action trailer.
Then the smart glass thing.
What was that like?
That was. It's like a up. I was at first. I thought it was just something that was going to be through Waypoint. But I'm assuming this is going to be one of those new Xbox companion things that they're doing. And they're somehow integrating Waypoint with that.
But it was just interesting to see. That's what it reminded me of.
Yeah, but it was interesting to see an incoming game request come into your tablet, and then from your tablet you launch your multiplayer.
Yeah,
that was weird. That was kind of awesomely weird.
Well, there was also the one with Madden, if you saw that part as well. Did anyone see that?
No, I did not.
Yeah, pretty much. They did a small Madden snippet where a people or a person would use a Windows 8 slate to actually load up like extra screen space for Madden plays, and actually use the slate to actually call plays and whatnot, call them, edit, audibles, stuff like that. So instead of like a using controller completely, they could like use a slate theoretically. So,
I guess. It was just interesting to see that you get an invite on your tablet. Like, I don't know why you wouldn't get it on your console, but I guess from your tablet you can just make it launch the game there. It makes me think kind of what other features that we'll see on the Waypoint app that can be integrated directly into Xbox. They really are trying to make it a unifying platform between mobile devices and your Xbox.
Yeah, except I'm stuck with a BlackBerry. Which sucks.
I'm stuck with an Android.
Well, Android, you get all the cool stuff. Yeah, Smart Glass is actually going to be compatible for Android, as they announced. So
Smart Glass is?
Yeah. So really? They'll have an app for Android.
Nice. Did
anyone see when the South Park creators Trey Parker and Matt Stone came out? They're like, we're here to show you off a new app that can be controlled on your TV, with your Xbox, on your tablet phone, with your other phone, while you're sitting in the refrigerator.
Did not see that.
It was hilarious.
No.
I saw that. It was pretty funny. It was just how he said it.
Yeah, with the South Park voice, yeah.
Basically.
So
pretty much reminded me of that Inception episode from South Park. But yeah,
let's keep going. I know you have to go, Eli, so I don't know how much longer you want to stay, but is there anything that you want to touch on before you scoot?
Yeah, they're coming out with the Spartan Ops trailer, like gameplay, tonight at the primetime special, which starts at 7 Pacific. So I'm really looking forward to that. And
so we might be doing another show tomorrow. Great.
Exactly. Invite me back, bro. That's all I'm saying.
I'll be doing videos. I'll be probably putting 3 videos out tonight.
It's awesome.
How many are you putting out?
Oh, I don't even know. Like at least 3, maybe 4. Because there's also the screenshots on Waypoint. We haven't talked about those.
That's
true.
But
there's really nice renders. And then new screenshots of the in-game footage.
Yeah. Look awesome. I'm surprised Halo Waypoint hasn't tweeted that much today, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree. I'll be tweeting all day long.
Well, they've been trying to get the site stable and uploading all this new stuff, as well as changing the site up a bit. So,
well, no, the site changes have been there since yesterday. That was pre-staged. That's how they do that. That's pre-staged stuff. I guess they weren't expecting the traffic, but no, that stuff was already set there.
Gotcha.
How could you not expect traffic from Halo 4 with the opening reveal at E3, dude? So intense.
Yeah. But
all right, I'm gonna take off. Thanks for having me, man.
Yeah. Peace. Thanks for coming. So what about those Promethean weapons, like incinerating people?
Pretty epic. All right, de-rezzing, right?
Yeah,
no, I got that.
There needs to be a word for this. There needs to be a word for it.
I'm sure there is.
I mean, isn't it just like dissipating or something, right? Disintegrating.
Disintegrating, yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah. But it was like because if you looked at it closely, you were still getting like parts of it like floating away. So it was like disintegrating and then burning at the same time. But the interesting thing was, all of their weapons caused everyone else to disintegrate like that, but then when you killed one of the Promethean enemies, they disintegrated as well.
So no one is safe from disintegration.
No one is safe from disintegration.
I just heard the call. Hang on, but it was someone else. It was like Darth Vader, right? I want them alive. No disintegration.
I did not make that connection, but that's interesting that you did. That's interesting that you did.
Mm-hmm. I did just now. Thank you. stroke of genius and burst of insight.
It's pretty funny. Pretty funny. Yeah.
New Star Wars game, 1313. Woo!
Let's keep on topic.
Halo 4. Why 13-13?
It's the name for the level on Coruscant. It's the level. But then there's also a crime syndicate named 13-13, which is named after the level in which they inhabit.
Okay. Gotcha. All right.
Just go with it.
Let's talk about some ordnance stuff. So Halo 4 has a page for ordnance and armor now on their site. And we have, I think this is pretty much all the human weapons that we're going to see, along with the Covenant weapons. And I'm assuming not all of the Promethean weapons, because all they have right now is the scattershot, which is the Promethean shotgun. Ooh. But they don't have the light rifle up there yet. I don't know if that's just a mistake that they forgot to put it there, or if...
Would they really make a mistake like that? Come on, right?
Maybe. It's happened. I mean, people mess up every once in a while, right?
So. But this is a Super Bowl. Like, this is their not mess up time, right?
Yeah. All right, we're adding someone else in here real quick.
Sounds good.
Another big guy in the community, if he picks up his phone. But we welcome Green Skull from Ready Up Live. Hello, Green Skull.
Oh, we're like live? I just hopped on into that?
Well, we're not live, but we're recording live right now, yes.
Yeah.
Sweet.
So, we just got Naked Eli on here, and he had some... he was as shocked as we were on some of the stuff we saw. What are your thoughts about everything that you saw?
What specifically?
Well, we're on the topic of ordnance right now, so if you want to talk about the light rifle or the scatter shot, feel free to comment.
Well, I wouldn't mind talking about ordnance simply because I'm working on a video right now that shows off the fact that every kill this one player gets, it increases the bar on his ordnance meter until it hits a maximum point. So I think it's gonna be really interesting seeing how these kills affect your ordnance and like what ones you'll get and where they'll drop in. Because we have heard a lot about ordnance, we haven't heard everything there is to know about it. So that's definitely something I'm really interested in, for sure.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
that's a new twist on that's almost like, well, here comes yeah, the comparison. So.
Yeah, I know. Here comes.
But the kill streaks in Call of Duty.
It's a care package. Right. Here we go, right?
Another Call of Duty thing I did notice, which isn't bad at all, and lots of games do this, is that when one player is firing at another player, there are four pointy symbols pointing out from the reticle, showing that you've actually made a hit with the enemy player.
Yeah, there are hit markers.
Yeah.
And actually, I was thinking about that from, like, in Halo 1, where if you hit someone, it made that little audible beep noise.
Yeah. Yeah.
So now it's just, you have that little hit marker.
Yeah,
sure.
Everyone's doing it. Might as well just do it in Halo 4 too.
Why not?
Yo, yeah, everyone's doing it, man. Do it if it feels good, huh? Right? Everyone's doing it, so why not do it in the road, huh, man?
Honestly, the first time I saw a hit marker, I'm like, wait, what? Really? Are we really doing this hit markers? But I didn't really see hit markers in any of the Halo 4 multiplayer or war game stuff. So it might just be a campaign thing.
It might just be campaign.
It is absolutely in war games, yeah. I'm actually working on a video right now specifically about that. It's definitely in there.
Yeah.
One thing I did notice, which I'm, I'll be releasing a video, which is, you should probably check it out. It's pretty cool stuff, that how a warthog appears on your radar. It actually appears as a little vehicle. And it looks pretty cool, as opposed to actually having, like, in Reach, it's just a slightly larger dot.
Slightly, it's a pretty big dot. Yeah.
Well, we were actually last night talking about some of the leak stuff that came out, just kind of on speculation. And the images that we saw of the ghosts were actually different icons than the little blip that you get for a person running around.
Yeah, they're actually little vehicles down there.
So is it actually, like, the insignia of the Warthog, just like a top view of it?
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's a little vehicle with four wheels on the side.
Are we referring to the B-roll video that was... Yeah,
that is correct.
All right. Let me go ahead and take a look at that.
Yeah, there's a lot of stuff. I'm probably putting out like three videos for Podtacular tonight as well.
Yeah, I'm working my ass off here.
Yeah.
A lot to cover.
I gotta work my butt off too after we're done with this show. We saw a lot though in the campaign stuff. What'd you think What'd you think of the details of the graphics?
I found it really funny that right during that, there were so many, it was something like, I think it was 8 trending topics worldwide, 8 of the top 10 or whatever were about Halo or E3. So it's pretty crazy to see that there. There's obviously people are very hyped about the game. And, you know, I saw it all over the place. I saw it on my Facebook and on my Twitter, all these people saying, "I'm sorry I doubted you." As soon as they saw this footage, they went, "Why did I doubt it? This looks phenomenal." And my jaw was open the entire thing. The campaign just looks amazing, and it's a different step. And that's what I'm interested in, to see. We've had the same stuff, relatively the same, over and over. To see this completely different take on the Halo universe is going to be really fun to play.
I mean, I don't think it's overly different. There's still Covenant. There's still the battle rifle, and I think there's enough new going.
But everything we've seen, it's crazy. It's literally the equivalent of comparing the book The Flood to Krypton. It's totally different stuff.
I think it's a good mix.
Oh, absolutely.
There's enough old stuff like Covenant and Battle Rifle and stuff that it feels familiar. But there's enough new stuff like Prometheans and whatnot that it still feels fresh.
Yeah, but it is pretty different, and that's what I'm most excited about. It's something new for once.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah.
Yeah, especially with all of the new weapons and whatnot that we have at our disposal here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it was like it was fair to doubt. I mean, well, not doubt them, but just like, you know, like, hey, what's going on? You know, just be skeptical at first, you know, especially like when a couple months ago, you know, people were freaking out like there was no new information for such a long time. It's like, what is going on here? I mean, it was fair enough to be skeptical, I think.
I just think people need to calm down on being so skeptical. Like they there's so many people who just assume.
Well, I mean, they just care about the series. That's all.
3 for 3 is without a doubt a super company, like composed of many, many brilliant minds in the industry. And to see, you know, all these people are saying, you know, thinking that these guys won't make Halo good at all, like that's a little bit too skeptical for me. Like maybe to say, oh, it's not going to be the Halo we know and love. I can understand that, but for people to dismiss it right away, I don't know what you're talking about there, guys.
Well, if you look at the people that are working on Halo 4, you have people that have been with Bungie before and now are moving over to Halo Force, and that's about 40-50%. And then you have people who came on as either being hardcore Halo fans or just really in love with the game. So you have just about everyone that's working there wanting to work on the game because it's Halo.
Yeah.
And absolutely. Because they're working on the game because it's Halo, they're going to make it the best freaking game.
Yeah, they're making it for themselves, and that's how it should work, and that's how Bungie used to do it, but it clearly faded over the years, their interest in the game. So to have this new fresh look at it, this fresh perspective, it's going to be really cool,
because everyone there wants Halo, and they're going to make Halo as best as they fucking can.
Not like, oh hey man, we gotta get this out of the door like ASAP so we can start working on Destiny, which we really care about, right?
Something I want to bring up, which I don't know if anybody's really noticed yet, is that in the campaign footage, Cortana tells Master Chief to turn on his visor mode. And it's clearly Promethean vision.
Yeah, it's clearly Promethean vision.
Directly as visor mode. So what I'm curious is about, and the fact that you have it right away there, I'm thinking that in campaign and Spartan Ops, it's going to be referred to as visor mode. But it's literally the same thing as Promethean vision, but that's just what it's called in war games.
That, yeah. Well, it definitely is reminiscent of what would be Promethean Vision.
The fact that
actually, isn't Promethean Vision armor ability for Halo 4, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, when I saw visor mode activate, I actually never saw the whatchamacallit, you know, the thing at the bottom left.
Oh, no, it's there. I'm going to pause on a still screen right now. It's absolutely there. The little eyeball thing, yeah. There.
Yeah, but there's no indicator on which, you know, assuming you actually you can only use it at a certain amount of time. There was no time indicator on it. So I don't think that it was referring to Promethean.
Yes, it's kind of
specifically, but I don't know.
But the fact that you can see
kind of confusing.
With this visor mode, it looked totally visor mode-ish until you noticed that you can absolutely see through trees, you can see through walls, and that's how they describe Promethean vision. Visor mode's never done that before. So I'm honestly thinking it's just what they're calling it, and maybe even just in campaign.
Yeah, it looks like an infrared type stuff, though.
It looks exactly like Prometheus. So
yeah.
Yeah, it's slightly confusing, but...
Yeah. Just what Spartan campaign has.
Another thing that they had in there was the hard light shield, which we called last night as being kind of a personal defense, like the energy shield the Jackals have.
Yeah,
that you can carry it around.
If you noticed, when... Like, if anybody's about to complain, because I'm sure that's coming, I'm prepared for that about this shield thing. Notice how vulnerable the person actually is. First of all, they don't hold a weapon. I see no weapon when these guys are holding the shield. They drop their weapon, they're just holding this thing. So it's entirely defensive. And not to mention, it doesn't even really wrap around you. It's completely in the front. So if you're in a corner, maybe you'll be safe, but it's, you're completely vulnerable from the top, from the bottom, from the sides, from the back. So it's, you're, it's not the best move to do unless you're just getting destroyed and you have to, I don't know, protect yourself slightly.
Right. But then we saw in the B-roll someone come up and smack someone that had the shield and it instantly went away.
Yeah, so it's hard to say. Like, maybe it just deflects bullets.
Or maybe the melee is just...
like a certain amount of like health, right? Like a shield, the amount of shield it goes for, and, you know, melee would get rid of it instantly, where bullets take a little longer. But again, everything I've seen from it, it definitely looks like it's nobody, because I see it coming again. There's going to be freakouts over it. It looks very, very fair.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
One of the things that I couldn't really tell from the B-roll, and there might not be any info out on this, but since the shield's kind of in segments, I'm wondering that if you shoot a segment... if it weakens to the point where the segment pops and the rest of the shield remains. I didn't really see that in the B-roll, but I assume the possibility's there.
Shield pop and B-roll?
Well, like, you know, you remember how the shield was in different segments? And that, from what we saw when the person meleeed the guy, the whole thing just went away. But I'm wondering that if one little section takes enough damage, if that section just pops and the others stay up there.
But you mean like the shield will pop, but your Spartan shield won't pop?
No. So like, if you're looking at it, and you see the little top piece right there, that would probably be where the person's headed. If you take that out, maybe their head's exposed, but the rest of the shield is still up, so the rest of the body is protected. I'm wondering if something like that would happen.
No, I'm looking at it right now. It just looks like the whole entire shield from top to bottom pops.
The whole shield just kind of disappears.
Yeah. I don't see a certain segment of the body just pop.
It might just be like the Forerunner design with the fancy geometry stuff. Maybe that's why it's like that. But it was just something that would be interesting if that actually happened.
Yeah. Another thing, which I don't know how to feel about it, is that things like the double kill medals and the triple kill medals and such are blue now.
Yeah, they're all blue.
They're all blue. That kind of took me by surprise. I mean, not that it really matters at all. Like, I'm not even going to – I don't care. But it's just something I noticed that was kind of interesting. Like, I don't know. Like, is it easier to identify these killstreak medals if they have a solid color with different little stars in the middle, or if they're all the separate colors which you can recognize? Because honestly, I think this way works better, because you can easily identify that, look, we have a killstreak, like a certain amount of kill medal here. Right away, you know that in their peripherals. And if you quick glance, you can relatively easily see – how many stars are in it.
Right.
I think it's probably a better system than what was already in place. But if that's even final, we don't know, right?
Yeah. Actually...
well, it depends.
Actually, I want to just go ahead and bring this up. Whenever you get, like, a kill streak, like, say, a double kill, and this is in B-roll, right over the center reticule there, you'll see, like, kill, double kill, and the amount of XP that you'll get. So that's kind of helpful, but it might be distracting as well.
I don't honestly think it's that distracting. It's one of those things that it's, you know,
like Call of Duty.
Yeah. There's so many games that already have a lot of information like that out there. And, you know, I don't see it. I'm watching it right now. And maybe at first, if you're not used to it, it might be distracting. But I see it, if anything, just being more helpful, because you don't need to glance away. You don't need to use your peripherals. You're just focusing on the center of your screen where you're attacking your enemy, and you never need to really care about anything else.
Right.
Yeah, it's informative. I mean, the only other thing that you'd have to worry about if that happens is possibly blocking your view of someone else. But then again, it looks like it's above the reticle enough to where it's not really obstructing view too much.
Now, last thing I want to say, which is pretty cool, I noticed that in the B-roll assassination animation, he actually tackles the Spartan. So it's not even on the exact same spot. They completely move to a different spot. Like, he pushes him over. So it's not right on the spot where Halo Reach is, where you assassinate the guy, you're right there. He actually throws him over a bit and tackles him. So I think from that, we're going to see some hilarious save films of maybe, like, one guy tackling another and narrowly missing a sniper shot. Like, I think there's going to be a lot of funny stuff about that.
That would be interesting. What do you think about the Chief only having one weapon in the campaign? It seemed like he was only able to hold one weapon.
Really?
Yeah. Because when he went to pick up the light rifle, he swapped it with his BR.
doesn't look like there's a secondary. You're right.
Yeah, it doesn't look like there's a secondary, and he swapped it.
Yeah, I'm not sure of that one.
Like, are we restricted to one weapon now for campaign?
It just doesn't seem likely to me. Like,
I doubt it. Yeah, I think you're looking too much into it, to be honest.
It might just be, you know, how they set it up, right? Because they've stressed a few times that they had to do, like, extra polish just to make this little campaign segment look like it's playable, right? Like, look like it's really good. So, it's very possible they just didn't include that secondary weapon because it wasn't tweaked the way they wanted it to be.
Thoughts are rolling through my head now, too, where maybe you can have only one primary weapon and then you can pick up, like, a secondary weapon? Maybe?
Well, yeah, actually, that's a good point. It's very possible that, like, secondary weapons can only be smaller weapons, like how it is in multiplayer when you spawn. You have your larger weapon and, like, a plasma pistol for your secondary.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's something like that.
But it's hard to say right now, really.
But, I mean, there's a lot of information in here. And I know you've probably made... How many videos have you made so far?
Zero. Yeah, we're working pretty hard here.
So, and how many you think you're going to put out by the end of the night?
Dude, I don't even know. I don't even know if we'll all get them out tonight. It's just so much work right now.
Yeah, I gotta see if I can get like 3 of them done tonight.
Yeah, I have a few I want to do. This one I definitely want to get out right away, just analyzing the B-roll, because I noticed a few cool things. So, yeah. I want to get that out right away. But after that, I don't really know. I don't know where I'm going to go from there.
We'll retweet you. I'm sure you'll retweet us.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Do the whole round robin circle jerk thing.
Yep.
All right. Well, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, peace, man.
All right. But yeah, that's interesting that the chief was only able to hold one weapon during the whole thing.
I don't think, you know, I mean,
it's like
anything.
It's like an extreme version of removing dual wield, in a sense. I'm not sure how I feel on that.
I'm sure we'll be able to hold two, you know, come launch.
Yeah. We'll see. Another thing on the topic of weapons is that we've seen the light rifle and we've seen the scatter shot. I'm wondering if we're going to see some kind of Promethean pistol.
I'm sure we will.
Yeah, like rifle.
Every type of weapon, like a pistol, assault rifle, shotgun, sniper, you know, explosive rocket, whatever. Every kind of like class of weapon, I'm sure there's probably a Promethean equivalent.
Right. Although, looking at the Covenant weapons on the Ordnance page, all we have is the plasma pistol, the needler, the energy sword, the carbine.
The energy sword?
Energy sword. Yeah. I know I kind of started a little bit. Okay. And then we actually have the storm rifle, which I'm assuming is replacing the plasma rifle.
Plasma?
Because it says in the description, the T-55 storm rifle is the evolution of the standard plasma rifle.
I guess so, yeah. Are they retiring the plasma repeater? No!
I never used it anyways.
Me and AJY, we're quite fond of that weapon, actually. Like, because nobody likes to use it. Like, so we like to make it viable. I do consider myself quite good at it, actually. The plasma repeater, you know, just... And it's like, when I kill people with it, it's like, you just lost to a guy with a plasma repeater.
Well, wow. let's look at the bright side here.
Same thing could be said about a plasma pistol.
Well, no, it's so cheap. The EMP, the new pump, no.
No, I mean, like, purely plasma pistol. Like, someone is just, like, pulling the trigger constantly, doing the overcharge.
Not really. That's actually pretty easy. You can spam those little shots pretty fast. It takes the shield down pretty fast for that, actually, in my opinion. Just get some melee or something, you know.
But we have the Mongoose, the Warthog, and the Ghost confirmed in the Ordnance as well.
Oh, cool.
So, Mongoose is making a comeback. Yay!
Ooh. Although maybe we saw it a little faster. Maybe a little more armored, like at least for the driver or something.
Right. We saw all of these in the leaks that we talked about yesterday anyways.
Yeah.
But it's nice to see them officially announced now. IGN just released the full Halo 4 E3 trailer. That's nice. I'll be downloading that without the whole camera zoom in and out stuff.
Yeah, well, that's been on Waypoint already.
Yeah, in 360.
Yeah.
But now we have an HD on YouTube. Thanks to IGN.
Oh, HD. Okay, I thought you were
referring to... Yeah, the thing on Waypoint is just 360p.
Yeah, so. If you view it on your Xbox, it's actually in HD. And I actually thought it was just me viewing it in 360p.
That's the stream, and it still has the camera fade in and out, and it's actually not the full thing. If you start it from when the stream started on the Xbox stream, it's actually about 7-8 seconds into the starting of the Halo 4 trailer.
Actually, I was referring to the video inside Halo Waypoints app, not within the live event viewer, if you were referring to that at all.
Maybe.
Yeah.
there's a ton of stuff in here. I haven't even dissected all the multiplayer video stuff yet. Like, I saw the campaign stuff, I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's amazing. We need to take a look at the Spartan Ops stuff. What is it, at 7?
Oh, yeah. Well, 7 p.m. Pacific, which is 10
right.
my time. So that's a while a ways. We also have the rocket pistol, and it actually has has an official name. Where is it? There it is. The sticky detonator. So the sticky detonator is the thing that we saw in the Halo 4 teaser trailer.
1 year ago today, or almost that. Right?
Give or take a few days. But so reading the description here real quick, the M363 RPD is a low-profile single-shot weapon that launches a magnetically lashed explosive. So I guess it sticks to stuff magnetically. Is what that means. That's pretty cool.
Now, is this actually replacing the grenade launcher? I've heard stuff about it being replaced, but I've not actually seen confirmation on it.
We don't even have confirmation that the grenade launcher is going to be in the game, so it might as well be, right?
I hope the grenade launcher is in the game. Until I like that weapon notice. A lot.
Yeah, until further notice, yeah. But
I hope the grenade launcher is in the game. It's one of my favorite weapons in Reach.
It's the best trap ever in Captured Wild games. Like, people don't see it coming.
Yeah, and the fact that they track everywhere is nice, too.
Yeah.
Reading on, though, weapon that launches a magnetically launched explosive, which the operator can remotely detonate when at a safe distance. Although previously manufactured in low quantities, this weapon's size and ease of transportability has made it ubiquitous in the years which followed the Covenant War.
Ooh. So,
all right.
Yeah, basically a compact grenade launcher that sticks to stuff. But if it says magnetically lashed, I guess that means that it won't stick to natural terrain, and it actually has to stick to something magnetic, like armor or walls or floors or stuff like that.
Yeah, good point.
So that's going to be a difference. Because if you think about sticky grenades, they don't stick to natural stuff either. Well, they don't really stick to walls, but if you just add the metallic property to it, I'm sure it would probably act the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, can't we just all get invited to a private beta and just try it ourselves? I mean,
no.
Yeah, we are the press, technically. We are, right, Potacular. Yeah.
Well, come to PAX.
We got VIP.
Come to PAX. You'll get to play it there.
VIP status, yeah.
PAX.
If you come to PAX, I am 100% sure that they're going to have multiplayer demos there, because they have multiplayer stuff at E3, so they'll have it at PAX.
Assuming that they're going to do another Halo Fest, if at all.
I don't think they're going to do a Halo Fest this year.
Yeah.
I mean, they'll put on a showing for Halo 4, but I don't think it's going to be like Halo Fest. Like,
yeah, because that was pretty intense.
Oh, it was amazing. It was awesome.
Don't rub it in.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
So the leak that came out, I want to say a month ago, the McFarlane toys with the new stuff on it. Those two things were actually shown in there as well. So we have names for all of the Promethean enemies that we saw. So I'm going to call what looked like a dog in
the crawler.
Yeah. They're called the Promethean crawlers, the ones that crawled along the ground at the beginning. Those were the first ones you actually saw. And then the Promethean watchers were next. And if you watch
Sentinels, right?
Yeah, if you watch the A little bit different than that. But for those of you who watched the CAM plane demonstration, you noticed that when you threw a grenade, the watchers would actually catch it and throw it back at you.
Yeah, I saw that with the sticky grenade. Yeah, I noticed that.
Yeah. And then they would
teleport enemies up to safety as well. I don't know if you guys caught that at all, but they would...
Yeah, I did.
Like, teleport or disassemble them back.
I could see myself being frustrated over that. I'm like, oh man, he's one shot, and he's gone.
Yeah, and he's gone.
Like,
yeah. That would suck. I'm wondering what the two little wheel-like things were on either side of him.
Wheel-like things?
On the watchers.
Maybe it just helps it, like, hover, like, stay afloat. Or something.
I guess. That would make sense. But wouldn't they be face down in that case?
Yeah, we don't know. We're in technology. We're not engineers, right?
True. I suppose. Mm. And then the last one that we saw was the Promethean Knight. And I'm thinking that this is what we saw in the concept trailer back during Halo Fest. Remember the little... the little thing at the very end of the concept trailer where it was the shaky cam of this one thing. I think this is what that was.
Pretty much. I have a feeling these guys are basically going to be like the elite of the Promethean forces.
Mm-hmm.
I would assume like the...
Where the Watchers are the...
Well, Crawlers are like grunts. Like they are the...
Yeah, Crawlers are grunts.
They're the grunts, like the Ungol equivalent, and like both grunts is the word. Mm-hmm. And then the Watchers... They are drones because they're airborne.
Yeah, they're the drones.
Are we going off of like appearance similarities or like the combat skill similarities?
I'm saying more combat skill.
I would say
drone. I don't know if there would be like a jackal-like class though. We haven't seen anything yet to really determine what that would be like.
We only saw one jackal so far, so.
I think the grunts look great. They look very colorful.
They're speaking English again.
I think that's just for the sake of the player, really. You know?
The entertainment value of the game?
Yeah, exactly.
Bungie created Halo Reach. I think it was Marty O'Donnell that mentioned, want to go back to how it kind of seemed like when... you don't know what the grunts were talking about or any of the elites, anything like that. So
it's like the cutscene in Halo 2 where the Arbiter is like, you know, judged by the counselor for his like his failure to protect the Halo ring, and he's given like the mark of shame and all that. Mm-hmm. And do you really think all their covenant are all speaking English?
No.
Like, no, exactly. It's just for the sake of the player.
Right, but when you're, like, interacting with them on...
Still, it's like the sake of the player. You know, the comedy... Well, I mean, yes, comedy in terms of grunts, but, you know, just, an entertainment value.
Yeah, I guess.
Because having them speak in some kind of foreign language and having subtitles...
That's Cyborg!
What is that?
What?
Bat Cyborg. My horrible attempt at doing a grunt voice of Bat Cyborg.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
You just totally lost my train of thought.
Subtitles, foreign language, subtitles, foreign language.
Yeah, that'd be a bit more boring.
That'd be really boring. Yeah, that'd be retarded.
I understand that. I'm not a poster or anything, but...
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I just told you I'm not.
I know.
Douche. Okay. But, let's see... On Master Chief's HUD during the campaign demo as well, we saw Cortana pop up and then the Shipmaster from the Infinity pop up on the HUD.
Mm-hmm.
That was right.
The British guy, right? Wasn't he British?
What?
I didn't really pay that close attention to his accent.
I'm pretty sure he was British from my recollection.
Maybe. Does it matter?
It didn't sound British to me, to be completely honest. Again,
I'd have to go back and listen to it.
We haven't had a whole lot of British voice acting in Halo games before, have we? I don't think we've had any. He sounded British to me. That's all.
I'd have to go back and listen.
May or may not.
I'd have to go back and listen.
Yeah.
But, yeah, actually seeing Cortana outside of a cutscene, like actually in the HUD, was actually pretty darn cool.
Yeah, I think that's really a great.
It reminded me of Halo Wars.
A little bit, yeah.
Because when you have like Colonel Anderson and or Captain Anderson, and then the AI in there, I forget what her name was.
Right, but they kind of needed to do that just for the sake of.
Right, but but it looks very, very similar to that.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I like that they're gonna have Cortana's face pop up, and not just a voice. It just works better. Feels like she's actually talking to you. Like, not like Master Chief. I guess. It's just going insane. Hearing voices in his head.
A little more of a personal interaction at that point, if you think about it.
Yeah. Now, Halo Wars, I wonder if at all in this trilogy or any lore that 343 comes up with, are they going to bring back that Spirit of Fire ship from the Halo Wars? Or is that just canon that nobody cares about?
I don't think we'll see it come back. Because,
yeah.
Well, the story that they're sticking with that is that they were lost.
No, they were on their way back to Earth. It was just taking a really long time. Like, basically, I remember it was like, it would have taken them like 25 years to get to like the nearest UNSC settlement, which at that point would have placed their return about exactly the end of the Human Covenant War from the timeline. So it seems kind of fitting in a way.
Possibly, if they make a Halo Wars 2, they could reincorporate that. Yeah,
they need to do that. They probably make a Halo Wars 2, please. I mean, it was a pretty fun game.
You know, well, there have been rumors.
Yeah.
There have been rumors.
Should not have shut down Ensemble, that's first of all.
Well,
it's definitely not out of the realm of possibility. I don't think that's necessarily.
Then again, Robot Entertainment was created right after Ensemble with pretty much like two or three of the same people. I don't know. I need to fact check that. But yeah, it's a possibility. But at the same time, the response to that wasn't as great as it could have been. In my opinion. So, I don't know. let's just see in the future, hopefully, we can grab another Halo Wars 2.
Yeah, is 343 big enough to work on both Halo Wars 2 and, like, a mainstream Halo game simultaneously?
I don't think right now they are, but they could definitely hire more.
Or they could integrate Robot Entertainment into them for, like, at least temporarily.
Well, they could, like, contract with them.
A subsidiary,
I mean, you see these games that have multiple developers anyways.
Yeah, Call of Duty.
Well, I mean, for Halo 1, you had Gearbox and Bungie developing it. So, I mean, there's partnerships.
Saber Interactive, anyone?
Same thing with Halo Anniversary, and the same thing with the Halo Reach DLC.
That's right.
Well, so
Saber Interactive,
Yep.
Whose new game and version is coming out Tuesday, June 5th? Looks cool.
We're talking about Halo, which is cooler.
Nobody knows about that game, which is sad.
The Spartan Laser has also been confirmed to be back, which we all had a feeling that it was going to make a comeback in Halo 4 anyways.
As long as there's 4 shots in that Spartan Laser, I'm totally fine with it.
At least 4 shots?
No, just 4 shots.
Just 4 shots? You don't want 5 shots like it was in Halo 3?
I don't want 5. Or make it so that it spawns less frequently, because in Halo 3, I had the worst time. I'd like, oh, hey, Banshee spawn, get in, lasered. Oh, hey, the Warthog just spawned right after that. Might as well get in that, lasered again. So
I don't think it was too much of a detriment.
I don't know. Maybe I've been playing too much Big Team Battle or something.
I feel like 4 shots in Reach was just right.
Maybe. I mean,
we'll have 3 shots could be, you know, for such a powerful weapon, it feels appropriate, I guess.
Right. We'll see. We'll see what it is. Well, that pretty much wraps up. I think we covered just about everything that we've seen today.
Come back tomorrow for another Halo
Spartan. Yeah, we'll see. We'll see if we can do another episode tomorrow to talk about the Spartan Ops stuff that's showing tonight as of when we're recording this. And if you're actually hearing this before that pops up, then thanks, you're a hardcore subscriber. Yeah. Because this will probably show up like an hour before that actually airs. So kudos to you guys.
Damn, you're dedicated. Yeah.
But we'll definitely wrap up next week in more detail a lot of the stuff that comes out, because I'm sure over the next 2 or 3 days we'll actually get more tidbits just leaking out throughout the whole duration of E3.
So, yeah, I mean, they just barely started showing off Halo 4 during E3, and it's a whole week. It's an entire week, so.
Well, I was telling Daff last night after the show that we recorded, there's a possibility that we might have a show for every afternoon after E3. So, ooh, you guys might have 4 shows this week. In which case, consider yourselves very, very lucky.
Working overtime here.
Definitely working overtime.
And send in some submissions. Give us your thoughts on all this stuff. Yeah. Definitely. We should do a submission show.
Well, we actually have one, believe it or not. I just got in a couple minutes ago.
Oh, we should read it. Come on, throw a bone, Dusty.
We can read it.
Let's read it.
We will read it. Do you want to read it?
Sure. You want to link it to me or something? Instead of this?
Yeah, I'm going to put it here right now.
Oh, cool.
So,
who is this from?
Duty Bound.
Okay. From Duty Bound, whatever that means. He says, "Let's talk about E3. The enemy that we saw looks like it has a face gun. The Forerunner weapons are bad. The animation of the weapon pickup looks sweet, and we got a good look at Forerunner/Promethean Vision. Now for the setback. No one came out to talk about the game. That slightly threw me off. I was hoping Frankie or Beast Angel was going to give some sort of introduction to explain anything that was going on, and it was very short, although that was probably due to the fact that they released part of the new enemy. I think what we saw wasn't even the tip of the iceberg. The machines that we saw attacking John first were probably the grunts of the defenses, like we discussed earlier."
Yeah, we just mentioned that.
"The flying machine looked interesting and fun to fight." The flying machine means the watch. Flying machine.
The flying machine.
Yeah, flying machine.
It's a flying machine. It's a UFO.
Yeah. Probably they are the buggers. Yeah, like drones, right? "Was the opening scene part of the live-action movie, or was it CGI/in-game footage?" I don't know. I have a feeling it's part of the Forward Unto Dawn movie.
It's live-action.
Right. And, it was live-action.
It might be part of the Forward Unto Dawn series.
They could include snippets, right, in the game.
Right, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did this solely for this premiere. It wouldn't surprise me if they did that as well. So this could be part of Forward Unto Dawn, or it could be a completely separate live action sequence that they did just for this.
Well, Forward Unto Dawn, is the UNSC Infinity going to be part of the Forward Unto Dawn? Do we know?
I think so.
Because if it is, then why not? These live action things that we saw today were basically describing a brief history of the ship, so I would think they'd be...
Well, because Forward Unto Dawn is supposed to follow a UNSC soldier that was basically inspired by the Chief, and throughout the whole video, we got little snippets kind of flashing back to this one person, so that would make sense that this is part of the Forward Unto Dawn live-action thing that we will get
in October. Maybe it's towards the end or something, like to build up to Halo 4.
Right.
That makes sense, yeah.
Well, if you look at it, the time that they're releasing in October is they're releasing weekly episodes leading up to the release of Halo 4. So the 5 weeks prior leading up to Halo 4 is when we're going to get these episodes.
Yeah.
And then if you pre-order the limited edition, you will get essentially a 6th episode.
Ooh.
So it's a good reason to pre-order your limited edition. Sorry, not legendary. Damn. Limited edition.
Yeah, shameless plug-in. Shameless plug.
So you just gotta figure out which retailer you're buying it from.
Holiday 2012. The holiday where I will absolutely run out of money.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Hey man, you're stimulating the economy, man.
Indeed you are.
Only one part of the economy.
Hey, that's the important part.
Yeah, that's paying off video part. Games. Yeah, that's the important part. That's all you need.
All right.
Continuing reading. "The flying machine looked interesting and fun to fight." That's the Watcher. "Probably they are the buggers, like the drones.
Was the opening scene part of the live action movie, or was it CGI slash in-game footage? We just discussed that. But this guy.
Wow, we were anticipating this guy's submission like crazy.
Yeah. He says he can't tell. He says, overall, using your words, it was the right part to spoil. I'm glad I decided to watch Duty Bound.
Duty Bound. Yeah. Ooh.
Thanks for that submission.
Basically, all the thoughts that we had about what we saw pretty much summed up in this email.
Yeah, pretty much.
It was nice to see that they did campaign, though. They didn't, at least during the Xbox press conference, they didn't do anything that was multiplayer. It was all campaign. And I am very happy about that. I think that's what was needed, was the story of Master Chief. And it was nice that they incorporated Infinity and how they were going to show that first interaction in the game. So I thought the scene that they chose and the level that they chose was a very smart move on their part.
Heck, up until that cutscene there, I just thought UNSC Infinity was completely separate from anything. So I'm like, oh, hey, that's cool. It actually has a tie-in. So,
right. So that's nice. Nice to see.
Yeah.
All right. Well, you guys have any other comments? Because other than that, I think we pretty much covered everything tonight.
Yes. I think we're good to go.
I think we are. So thanks, guys, for listening in. We'll do another show tomorrow. It might be shorter than this one, depending on how much more stuff that we get out of tonight's Spartan Ops thing that's supposed to be on primetime, and then whatever else they decide to release tomorrow as well. So make sure you tune back tomorrow for more goodies, and enjoy E3.